All right, we're beginning with the Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph from Aleph. The Mishnah describes here, Mishnit Chayev B'Shtei Mitot Beit Din. Person who has ends up being Chayev two times capital punishment, where they need to be put to death by Beit Din. Then if we have the choice, we go with the Chamura. We're given the more stringent of the two punishments. Avar Aveira Shnit Chayev Shtei Mitot. He violates a single Aveira that requires two punishments. So for instance, if it's Chamuto and Eshedish, meaning in a single act he violates two Isurim, then again, Nidon Bechamura, you give him the more stringent of the two punishments. There he would be Chenek and Sreifa, so you would give him Sreifa, because Eshedish is Chenek, Chamuto is Sreifa, so you give him Sreifa, because that's the Chamura. So the first instance is a case where there's two different Averot that result in a capital punishment, and a death penalty. There you give them more chamura. This is a single action that ends up with two death penalties. Again, the same din, which is that you give them more chamur. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon Bezika Rishonah Sheba'alav. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it has to do with the first isur that affects him. So for instance here, depending on chamuto and eshedish, you could have it one of two ways. Either she was married, and then he marries her daughter. If he marries the woman's daughter and she's married, she was an ishit-ish, she was restricted him as an ishit-ish first, and then later as chamuto after she got married. Or the other way around, at first she was not married, her husband had passed away, he marries the daughter, so then chamuto is the first isur that comes upon him. Ishit-ish only happens if she subsequently gets married. So you can have it go either way. The Gemara will discuss what's the meaning of this. The Gemara says, pshita, I mean, what's the option here? In the Mishnah says that you have two mitot, you pick the chamura. Where it says, Pshita, Eleid Gure Yitgar. Listen, if he only did one Aveira, or if he did the Aveira and there was only one Isur, so he gets the higher punishment, he gets the more stringent the punishments. Now that he does something else, he has an additional Aveira here, what are you going to do? Are you going to take it down? You're going to reduce his punishment? I mean, what does the Hava mean to suggest otherwise? Even without the Mishnah, we should be able to come to this conclusion. So Amarava, of course, the case is, Achamai Skinen, Gonsha Bar Veira Kala, Vinigbar Dino Alavira Kala. In that your assumption here is that he violated the more chamur first. So when he violates the more chamur first, you think, okay, so the fact that he has another capital crime or another death penalty that is of a lower stringency, so that should make no difference. Of course that's pshita, but what happens when it's the other way around? He violated the yoter kal first. So when he violates the yoter kal first, now we have something to talk about. Because he has an avira kala, then his nigmar dino avira kala, v'chazar v'avar avira chamura. So then he goes afterwards. He's already on death row. He has the death penalty. He's going to be put to death. And he does another avira that is deserved of the death penalty. Sakadat chamin, I would have thought, kevin nigmar dino avira kala, hay gavra katilu. Since already he was sentenced to death, he's a dead man walking. A dead man walking, there's nothing more to do for him. How do you take a dead man and then give him another death penalty? You can't do that. So I would have thought maybe not. Kamash Malon, that he can be upgraded. Just because you have a death penalty means that yes, you're a dead man, but you're a dead man up to this stringency. If you increase or do something that is more chamur at that point, avira chamura, then we're going to elevate or we're going to upgrade your death penalty to match with the new crime that's there. And that's what the Mishnah comes to teach us. The Mishnah comes to teach us that that is still in effect, even though the person is on death row. So, Bai Minei Achua, the Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Mei Rav Bar Natan, Minaha Miltud Amur Rabbanon. Where is the source for this? That Mishnet Chayev Shtei Mitot Beitin Nidon Mechamura. That whoever has Chayav, two possible outcomes or two possible death penalties, that he gets the more stringent of the two. Where do we know this from? So the Gemara brings. Right. Well, we say, well, Pshita. No, the first part is Pshita. If it's a downgrade, then it's Pshita Svara, that there's no reason to go with the Kala. If it's an upgrade, we said that you would have a Havamin, otherwise the Mishnah comes to teach you, no. Where does the Mishnah know that?
That's what the Gemara is asking now.
Right, yeah, I assume that's what the Gemara is asking.
Exactly, that phrase that way.
Right, but that's the only thing you would have a question about, meaning that if it's Pshita, the first part, means you don't need a source for it. Right, so it's got to be the Kamash Malan. Where do we know this Kamash Malan from? So now, it says in Yechezkel, Voled ben paritz. We're going to see a lot of this parak. This is later on the parak, Pasuk Yud in the parak. It says you will give birth to a ben paritz, we call him a robber or someone, a child without restraints, shofech dam, a killer. Right? El arim achal, the mountains he ate, ve'eshet reo timei. right? He violated his friend's wife, Ve'el Gilulim Nasa Inav, and he looked towards the idols. So, Ve'olid ben Parish Shofech Dam, what's the punishment for a Shofech Damim? Saif. Et Eishir Re'eu Timei, what's the punishment for that? Is Chenek. Ve'el Gilulim Nasa Inav, that's Avodat Kochavim, what's the punishment for that? Is Skila. In the end, what punishment is that? So, Chtiv, later on in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Mot Yumav, Damav Bo Yeh. Right, so now he's going to be put to death. Damav Bo Yeh. Damav, we know, is the code word for Skila. Because by Oven Yidoni, it uses Damav Bam, referring to Skila. So that means he's getting Skila. So here are three possibilities of what he's going to get punished with. He has Saif, Chenek, and Skila. And what punishment does he get? Skila. And here's a case where we're clearly upgrading the Mitah. We did the first case is Saif, then downgrade to Chenek, and then upgrade to Skila. So over here he did a kala, a vayra kala first, then a vayra chamura, and we give him the punishment of an avira chamura. So as the Gemara says, "Matim flor of Nachum bar Yitzchak, emakulu b'skila." Who says there's a saif, chenek, and skila here? They could all be referring to issues of skila. V'ali de ben parit shofech dam ze ben sorer umore. Time about ben sorer. What's the punishment for ben sorer? Skila. The time about a ben parit shofech dam. Why is he a ben parit shofech dam? What is the reason that a ben sorer more is put to death? Al shem sofo. So yes, he's a ben parit, so we're afraid he's going to be shofech dam. So therefore he gets a skila over here. What's the case of eshid ria utime? Zu, nara hamiruasa. Nara hamiruasa is chayevet in skila. So there you get, there's another case of skila. V'yal gulim nasayinav, zu etachomim biskila. So therefore we have all three of the cases, all three of the veirot are a veirot of skila. Now we have Averota of Skila, and he gets punished with Skila. No Chiddush over here. That's exactly what Ma says. Imkein, my Kamashul and Yechezkel. What's Yechezkel teaching us? He does three Averot, they're all Chayav Skila, and you're punished with Skila. It sounds right, you know what I mean? That what's the Chiddush here? There's nothing to, there's nothing surprising over here. So Ma says, Dilmo Torah Kimahadr. She says, well, why does it have to be any Chiddush in Yechezkel? Maybe he's just doing Chazara. He's telling you, you know, he's telling you Dinim from the Torah, and he's doing Chazara on the Torah. No big deal. Where it says, "In Cain, he byled the Adura, ki heichid Adra Moshe Rabbeinu." Well, if he's going to do Chazara, let him at least use the Lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu uses. Let him, you know, express it in the same way and define it in the same way. The fact that Yechezkel is using his own wording and not following what exactly. If you're chazing over the Torah, then phrase it like the Torah and in the order that the Torah has it, not simply, you know, random words and random cases. So, Darash Rav Acha Barab China Mai Dichtiv. So now Rav Acha Barga says, what does it mean? Now this is the beginning of that parak in Yechezkel. The beginning of the parak in Yechezkel talks about people that Hashem likes and will do good to. And these are people who are said tzedakah mishpat. People do tzedakah mishpat, and then it gives a description of all these midot that they're going to have, which we're going to describe in a second. Then the Torah, the parak in Yechezkel afterwards says, someone who does that, Hashem will take care of. Tzadiku chayo yechyeh. On the other hand, it says, the one who does all of these, and then the list that we just had before, then he's motumat. So the Perek Nechezkel has a contrast between Sadiqim and Rishayim. So we read now what the negative side. Now the Gemara wants to know about the drasha on the positive side. Elarim lo achal. He doesn't eat from the mountains. So what does that mean, he doesn't eat from the mountains? So it means el shchut lo achal b'shvil avotav. Right, he doesn't get his prominence or his benefit from the merits of his forefathers. Beinav no nasai el gilulei Beit Yisrael, doesn't raise his eyes up to that which is right inappropriate, the idols of Beit Yisrael. Shelo alach bekoma skufa, that doesn't walk with an upright right standing koma skufa. The Gemara in Kedushin says kol alach bekoma skufa kilu dochef raglei Shechina, as if he's bumping into the legs of the Shechina, because it says Hashem by the Hashem it says ve'aretz hadom raglai, that the ground is the rest, my footstool. The idea being that a person who works with komas kufa does not see outside of himself. Right? He only sees himself, he doesn't see outside of himself, and therefore he's not kafui to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. is not subject or nichna before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Komas Kufa is like a code word for someone who doesn't understand that there's a higher power, someone above him. So that's a Komas Kufa. What does that mean, Yisrael Lo Timei? Can't be, we're talking about a tzaddik here. So what do you mean, Yisrael Lo Timei? Of course. So what else would you expect from this individual? Shelo Yaradu Minat Chaveiro. That here he does not go and take away from his friends Parnasa. Right, this is Hasagat Gvo. Right, the idea that we learned together about that a person's not allowed to open up a shop, right, the Gemara in Baba Batra is not allowed to open up in the same chatzer or along the way. He can't move into the city and open up a competing business. Right, he can't open up a business that blocks the people from going into the chatzer where the other business is. I mean that the Gemara lays out a certain amount of groundwork or framework in which a person can open up a business so that it does not impinge on his friend's parnosa. Now the there is competition. The Torah, it's somewhat anti-competitive, but the Gemara recognizes that it has to be competition that's done on an equal footing, and not where a person basically drains the parnosa of his friend. It has to be done in a way which allows for competition, but not for destruction of the other person's business. Right now, the next one, Be'el Isha Nida Lo Yikrav. Right, I don't know here, my Gemara has kirei, but the pasuk says Yikrav. So, Isha Nida Lo Yikrav. Shalom ne'ene mikupa shel tzedakah. What does it mean, Elisha nida lo ka'ikrav? He doesn't get any benefit from the tzedakah of tzedakah, which Rashi over here writes, shudvar ganai l'adam hagun. Someone who's it's beneath the dignity of someone who's a tzaddik like that to take from the kupa shel tzedakah. So I guess, I don't know how he connects it exactly, of isha nida, nida from the word nidui, right? That it's somebody is pushed to the outside or put to the periphery. So to over here, I guess that's the closest connection you would get from Rashi. Uchtiv, and the conclusion to this is tzaddik hu chayo yichya. Right, so that if he does these items, he's a tzaddik, then he will live. Okay, shaya Rabbi Gamliel magia l'mikra hazeh, haya buche. Rabbi Gamliel used to reach this pasuk, he would cry. Now, I'm pretty certain that he didn't cry about these pasukim here. He's crying about the pasuk that's not mentioned over here. I mean, he's crying about the pasuk, which is the next. But yeah, cool to say, if a person who does all of these, we'll see in a second, but the pasuk in Yechezkel talks about the fact that one who does, you know, these will live. Then it brings down the negative form, and before it brings down the negative form, it says those who do all of these items, right, will be considered tzaddik, and the one who does not do these items then will be, and then it gives the list of the negative items. So now it sounds from this that you have to do everything to be a tzaddik. So that's why he's bochev. Raman davi lekulu hu dechaye. So it sounds there from the pasuk in Yechezkel that is the one who does all of these items, right? Then he will live, which seems to indicate that you have to do everything. But you have to be like a tzaddik gomor to live. Otherwise, you do one of these items, that's not sufficient. If you wanted to find the pasuk in Yechezkel in that way, again, I'm telling you, it's the missing pasuk that he's defining over here. Because elamiata, what are you going to say? By we just learned this in Achrei Mot. And the end of Achrei Mot, it says, Altitamu b'chol eile. Right, you should not defile yourselves with all of these items. What's before this? All the arayot. That has all the list of the arayot. That has the list of ovi yidoni. So now, what's your suggestion? Hachanami b'kulu in b'chadim anayelo. Oh, you'll only be punished if you do all the arayot, not if you do one of them. No, that can't be an interpretation of achat mi kol eile. When it says kol eile doesn't mean all of the above items. Kol eile means any one of the above items. Achat mikol eile. So over here in Yechezkel, you should define kol eile as being achat mikol eile. Not that you have to do all of them, but one of those. Achanami v'achat mikol eile. If you do, you know, one, you don't have to be a tzaddik, or to chayo yechia, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be a perfect tzaddik. You have to do, keep, right, most of these, or do the right thing. Do tzedakah u mishpat. So Mary says, Abba Rabbi Ra'atanya, Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yossi Nidon B'zikah Rishona Ba'alav. What's the case where Rabbi Yossi says that you go, or you're defined by the first Isur that comes upon him? So now, Chamuto, at first she's his mother-in-law, V'nasit Eshidish. His mother-in-law was single, so then when he married her daughter, she was now Chamuto. Afterwards she gets married, then she turns into, is also as a restriction of Eshidish. Nidon b'chamuto, according to Rabbi Yossi, the punishment will be chamuto, which is sreifa. Ishid ish, Benazet Chamuto, she was married, meaning that both the daughter's father and mother are alive, in this case, and she's married to her father. So in that case, when he marries the daughter, the Isra of Eshet Ish preceded the Isra of Chamuto, and he don't be Eshet Ish. They get a punishment of Eshet Ish, which is Chenek. So Amar Leh Ravada Brava the Rovo, Chamuto, Benazet Eshet Ish. Nidon b'chamuto. So wait a minute. When you're talking about chamuto, it was his mother-in-law, and later she became eshedish. Nidon b'chamuto. You want to suggest that she could get the punishment of chamuto? Nidon namia isur eshedish. Should also get punished with eshedish. Daha amar Rabbi Abau moda Rabbi Yossi be isur mosif. Rabbi Yossi agrees by isur mosif. So now here we get to the underlying theme or the underlying reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi's position. Rabbi Yossi's position is very basic, which is ein isur chal al isur. That once something is already asur, you can't make it more asur than it was originally. So if there's already an isur there, right, if you have, for instance, something that is a behema tmeya, right, that is already a non-kosher animal, and then it dies, so it's also a nivela. So what's the status? Meaning that can you make something that's already basar tamei into also a nivela? Yom Kippurim. Right, you have chaylev that is asur to eat, then you come to Yom Kippur, right, and you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So can you add the isur of Yom Kippur on top of the isur of chaylev? So the general principle of Rabbi Yossi is ein isur chalal el isur. He has an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is what's called isur mosif. Right, there is such another exception called isur kolel, which we don't address here, and it's not clear what Rabbi Yossi's position is in that, but at least with isur mosif, we would say that Rabbi Yossi says you can't have Isur Chal Al Isur. Now what is an Isur Mosif over here? Well, an Isur Mosif is a classic example. Here's Eshet Ish. First of all, at first he was Chamuto. Now this woman is restricted only to this individual because she is his mother-in-law. To anybody else in the world, this woman is permissible because she's a single woman and not their mother-in-law. All of a sudden you add in addition to that the Isur of Eshet Ish. The Isur of Eshet Ish not only restricts this woman to him now, it restricts this woman to everybody else in the world because she's now a married woman. So that's called an Isur Mosif. You've added on additional, this woman now, you've added on additional Isurim, right, for other individuals who are now also Asura to this woman because of the new Isur that was added here. And now, why does that matter? Why should that change the fact that ein isur chal al isur? So that the Rashi explains here, and it's the logic of ein isur mosif. So Rashi gives you the logic. It's the last three lines in Rashi. He says, V'chei chai gav namod Rabbi Yossi to isur chal isur, migo, t'chai al kulei alma, shaita mutert lehem ad achshav, chal nami ay hai. It's a migo. The migo that the isur, the new isur affects other people, and they are now asurin to this woman. Therefore, you too, the isur is chal on this individual, even though he's already asur to this woman. Chal nami ahai, af pish asur lo v'omedet. So the Eshet Ish extends the isur even to him, because now not only is they restricted to him, she's restricted to many other people. The new isur that is generated for the other people also brings along the original individual who was restricted to chamuto. There's a concept called isur kolel, which is another concept in isur. Isur kolel would be something that includes other items, other chafatzim. For instance, here, what I described before, if you are asur to eat chalef, and then Yom Kippurim comes. So now, when I have Isur Chalev, I wasn't allowed to eat Chalev before. It comes to Yom Kippur, I'm still not allowed to eat Chalev. But Isur Yom Kippur makes it that I can't eat anything, even things that are mutarim. Meaning that I can't even eat regular water, bread, anything else. So that's called an Isur Kolel. The Isur of Yom Kippur not only makes the Chalev restricted, but now includes other Chafatzim. Right? Not other Gavrot, another other, right? It doesn't make the Isur apply to other individuals, to other, right, subjects, but it affects other objects as well. Since it affects other objects, right, that might be what we call an Isur Kolel. So over there, that the question about what Rabbi Yossi holds there, I'm leaving alone. I'm just pointing out to that. And when we say an Isur Chal Isur, you have to judge. There are exceptions to the rule. One of them is this Isur Mosif. The other one could be Isur Kolel. So now, in the Isur Mosif here, that would suggest that at first Rabbi Yossi would have a case where it's Chamuto, and then you add on top of that Eshet Ish. So why don't, so then he basically asks back to him in a very simple question. He says, Amalei, Ada, Bri, betray Kadli, Kadlile? You want to kill him twice? What's the benefit of adding on Eshet Ish over here? What's the punishment for Chamuto? Sreifa. What's the punishment for Eshet Ish? Chenek. So now what's he going to say? Okay, let's say it's an Isur Mosif and you add on Eshet Ish. What does that do for you? you're still going to be nidon b'chamura. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that when you add two punishments, you're going to be nidon b'chamura. So what does the addition of eshet ish do for you over here? Absolutely nothing, because you're still going to get the sreifa of chamuto. Right. Okay. According to Rabbi Shimon, of course, it will make a difference, but that's Gemara is not speaking.
Statement. There's not arguing on the
Tana Kama. No. Oh, so very good. So in the end, what comes out is that Rabbi Yossi says that Zika Rishona applies because of Eni Surchal al Isur. It's a technicality. He does not disagree with the underlying principle of the Tana Kama that you need on Bechamura. If Lu, it was a possibility that you had both Isurim, then you would be Dinidon Bechamura. The only question of Nizika Rishona is because Eni Surchal al Isur, therefore there is only one Isur here. If there were a violation of two, and if the possibility of violating two, and there would be a Chamura, you'd go with the Chamura. Right? That sounds like it. It sounds like that would be Isur Chal al Isur, and that's not a problem. Right? That's, yes, he says there are two questions. One is Isur Chal al Isur, and if it does work, and you can get to this two cases, the Yunidon Bechamura. Now, there is an exception where it will make a difference, and that might be the conversation that's happening over here, which is that Rabba's point is Nasit Eshidish, Nidon Bechamutul, Nidon Nami Isur Eshidish, because of Isur Mosif. Why does that make a difference? Because in the case of Shogeg, it will make a difference. Ein ochanami, when it's nidon lemita, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because you can't give two death penalties. Whereas the case of shogeg, you can bring two karbanot. There is such a concept of two karbanot. So there it will make a difference. So the conversation here might be exactly that. I thought we were talking about, right, when we said this, I thought we were talking about karbanot, dine shogeg, right, and that's what's going to define whether it's, you know, matters over here. And he comes along. The answer is no, we're talking about dine mita over here. We're talking about dine mita. There's no nafkamino when it comes to iser mosif, because the nechamura is the first one anyway. If the chamura is the first one, then having an iser mosif is not going to do anything for you. So in achanami, in the end, it will turn out, according to Rabbi Yossi, you have a number of dinim. When it comes to shogeg, when it comes to karbanot, you will bring two karbanot. You see that in the last line of Rashi before the Mishnah. It says, V'chichal eshet ish achamuto, Rabbi Yossi, l'inyan shogegu l'itchayev shtei chataot. When Rabbi Yossi says that, or Rabbi Abbo says to Rabbi Yossi that Isur Mosif makes a difference, that's in the case of chataot. By shogeg, it will make a difference. In the case of mita, it will not make a difference, because Rabbi Yossi, first of all, is en Isur Chal Isur, therefore, you always go with Zika Rishona. In a case where it doesn't matter, and there is Isur Mosif, and we do say there are two Isurim, you still go with the Chamura. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi has those three principles. Ein Isur Chal al Isur. When there are exceptions to that rule, we go with the Chamura. And when it comes to Shogeg, then Isur Mosif will make a difference, because there you can bring two Chataot, like it will make a difference for the Tanakam as well. When you have a two Shogegim, you bring two Chataot, because then Chamura is not relevant anymore, because each Shogeg Chatat, all Chataot are of equal right standing. Right now, next Mishnah. Mishal Akav Shana, someone got Malkut, and then got it again. Beitin machnisino to the kippah, Beitin then locks him up and we'll call loose the jail. Machlino to seorim ashi kreso midbakat. They feed him barley until his stomach right, ruptures. Mishom the lock of a shana, Beitin kosino to the kippah. Just because he got malko twice, all of a sudden he ends up in jail. What does that mean? You do a person who violates two averot two times. One, you know, does one avera, does another avera, and all of a sudden he's in jail. What's going on? First of all, let's talk about this. We're talking about malkiot that relate to a iser karet. The gavra bar katalohu. This person is basically deserving of death. Ukruvehu dolamikrav kadle. Just that we don't accelerate his death penalty. Karet involves, I mean, it happens to be somewhat of a machlokus what karet is, but let's assume that karet involves him shortening his lifespan. And number two, possibly ariri, which means that he will lose his children, right? Or that his children will die. So now, this karet means that he will die early. The thing is that we as a Beis Din are not commanded to accelerate the death, as opposed to mitot Beis Din, where we're commanded to take away his life. Here he's deserving a death penalty, but Beis Din doesn't get involved. But there is such a point where they do get involved, which is that anybody who's chayav karet, who violates Beis Din, also gets malkut. They get malkiot. So over here, what he did was he violated Isur karet, and now he's getting malkiot. So here what he does, multiple isurei karet, and based on that, we know that this person is basically mafkir chayav. That's what the Gemara says here. But kevin to come vatel nafshei mikarvin and lekatle iloi. Since he's willing, he has no sense of importance to his life or value on his life because he's willing to violate all these chiyuvei kritut without any consideration. So therefore we say, if this individual is willing to be willy-nilly about violating Yisurei Karet, and he's being Afkir Chayav, then we'll help him along a little bit. We'll help him to accelerate his life over here, and we'll put him into prison. I'll explain it to you. Alright, so this is... So Rabbi Yirmiya asked, you know, as they explain this, give this explanation, Rabbi Yaakov comes along and says, Rabbi Yirmiya, listen, I don't think this is the right explanation. Let me explain it to you. But Malkiyut Shekaret Achat. We're talking about a violation of a single Aveira. Okay, so now we'll get explain this. Before, we're talking about any person who violates a number of Aveirot that involve Karet. So there, we wanted to say, or you were questioning the logic in that, why should it be? Just because he's Mafkir Chayav, why are we getting involved at all? So now here, Rav Yaakov gives an explanation. He says he's violating the same Avera over and over again. So Aval Shoshtaim Vishalosh Kritot Isurehu Dekataim Velo Mevater Kulehai. Is that what you're saying? Person is, you know, he's testing out. He's tasting. He wants to see what it's like. So if we have a repeat offender, we have a repeat offender about the same Avera, then we see what? That the Malkiot are not working. Malkus are supposed to be a deterrence for the person to do it again. Okay, he was overcome by the Yetzer Hara. We give him the Malkiot, I mean, and then the Gemara in other places says corporal punishment has a tinge or a taste of capital punishment in it. That really, he might be deserving a death, they might end up in a death penalty. Right. It's a lower form of mitah. It's the beginning of mitah. It's chilat mitah. So now, if that's the case, and we give him malkut, and he repeats the aveira, that means that we're having no effect on him. If we're having no effect on him, then he's clearly mevater chayav, because he doesn't seem to consider the fact that malkiot are a deterrent. Again, if he does multiple aveirot, there we say that he's overcome. He wants to test out the yisurim. You know, he wants to get all the different flavors. But over here, if he's taking the same flavor over and over again, we know that he just doesn't care. The Malkiot are not having any effect on him. So there, about Shtaim Shashlosh Kitot, Yisurei Hu Dekatayim, Velo Mevater Kulehai. Now, Mish Laka Vishana.
The whole concept of Kitot is whatever definition we give to it, it's Mitabide Shamayim.
Right.
And here, we said, okay, the Mitabide Shamayim, but we're helping the Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfill.
Well, here we have Mish Laka Vishana. First of all, we do have to give him corporal punishment. Right, so you're gonna give him Malkiot. There is something that's given to Beis Din. Okay. Alright, so from two perspectives, we have to create a deterrence that we can't have a person who comes to Beis Din and gets whipped and then goes out and does it again. That is a problem. Right, exactly. It's a problem for Beis Din, and it's a problem for the example or the precedent that he sets for other people. That we need to intervene in terms of the integrity of Beis Din and the value of punishment. We have to have deterrence from people acting in such taking such behavior so that others don't follow or copy them. It's a really important, there's an important factor over here that has to do not only with the mitzvah, but now you connect that to the karet. Then we say, okay, then we could take the extra Beit Din action in order to prevent this from continuing. So Mara says, Mishalok Avishana, Shana, Avagav Delo Shilesh. So only has to do two violations, not a third violation. Let us say that this mission is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes machlokas. We had this in Bava Kama, right? The machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi. How many times does it take to make a chazaka? Rabbi thinks two times is a chazaka. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks three times is a chazaka. So our mission, it sounds like two times is sufficient. Misha lakav is hana, right? Someone that once, twice, then next time in the kippah. So that sounds like two is a chazaka. So Ravina, Avila, Tamer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We can explain this even according to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi wrote mach zikot. The question is, how do you establish the chazaka over here? The chazaka can be established either by the number of violations, or it can be established by the number of punishments. So if you say avar v'shana, if you focus on malkut, you're right. There are only two. He got whipped the first time. He got whipped the second time, and now you need him to be whipped the third time before he has a chazaka. So that's if you focus on the punishment, on the malkiot. If you focus on the violation, the isur itself, he violated the first time, malkiot. The second time he got malkiot. The third time we put him in the kippah. That's the third violation. That's the chazaka that he's a muchzak to be a violator. Okay, so now Rashi says on this, I will tell you this. Rashi says, this Rashi makes a concept, Tosafot disagrees. Rashi says, now, afagav ditchazek hashto rasha, it's in the upcoming Gemara, I'm not going to say this, lo ma'ilin le kippah, betray dine lo dainin le. You're not going to give two punishments. That means, what you're suggesting is that you give malkut and goes into the kippah, that's not acceptable. You can't give him malkut and put him in the kippah. That's two punishments for the same aveira. That's double jeopardy. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be the assumption, or the underlying assumption, is that the kippah is in it for a separate violation, because you can't punish him with malkut and then kippah in the same punishment. So, can you really read it this way? So here, you're violating Aveira, and it says it. Now, the wording is, right, you can't... you get malkinoto, you get malkus. Shlishit, konsinoto, the kippah. The third time you put in the kippah. That sounds good. Abba Shaul Omer, af bishlishit, malkinoto, brevit, konsinoto, the kippah. So now, if you explain our Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel even agrees in our Mishnah, that it's two aveirot, malkut, the third aveirot, you go into the kippah, who does Abba Shaul hold like? Right, Abba Shaul is not holding like anyway. The easiest way to explain this braita is to say that they're arguing in Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi says twice, the third time you go in the kippah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says three times is a chazakah, and three times for malkot, and the fourth time you go into the kippah. So Tumar says, my love, everybody agrees that malkiot are the determining factor. Uplukta the Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kamichlegei. They're arguing in the machloket of Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Lo. Everybody holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that three is a chakah. That's exactly right, machlokas. Well, how do you determine the count? Is the count by aveirot or is the count by malkiot? So the Tanakhama thinks the count is by aveirot. Therefore, two times, then two malkut, right, malkot, and then last third time you get the konsinot the kibash. Abba Shaul says no, we determine it by the malkiot, number of malkiot. You have three malkiot, only fourth time you end up in the kippah. Gemara says, the Tanya, what about the Braita? Hitru bo v'shatak. They warned him and he was silent. Hitru bo v'yirkin rosho. They warned him and he shook his head and he says, the first two times we give him hatra'a, we give him a warning. Shlishit, kontino to the kippah. On the third time, we put him into the kippah. So Abba Shaul Omer, af shlishit matrinbo. Even on the third time we give him a warning. Brevit, kontino to the kippah. On the fourth time we put him into the kippah. Vahatam malkut leka. There is no malkut over here. We're talking about simple warnings where he does not end up with the punishment. Meaning that maybe this hatra'ah, for any technical reason, he doesn't get malkiot in this case. Since there's no malkot, what is the machlokas here? You want to suggest the machlokas between Abba Shaul and the Tanakhama is about whether aveirot machzikot or malkiot machzikot. There is no malkot over here. So how can you talk about malkiot machzikot? What's the answer must be that they're arguing on Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. They're arguing about what it takes to make a chazakah. What are they arguing about? They must be arguing between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether a chazaka takes two or a chazaka is three. And you see from here that if you held that a chazaka requires three, you don't put him into the kippah until the fourth time. And that would suggest that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not the author of our Mishnah. Damar Avina, bekippah tzricha tra'ah kamiflegei. Their argument is whether you need a warning before you put him into the kippah. Right, so what does that mean? If do you need to warn him specifically before he goes into the kippah? Machlokas here is not revolving around, you know, whether chazakah is two times or three times, right? That everybody holds that you need three times. Like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you need three times, three aveirot. The Tanakhama thinks that since he's already a rasha with the three hatra'ot for the malkot, right away you're kotzino to the kippah, right? Even though there was no warning. And Mashal says, no, the three hatra'ot get him the malkot. Then he's chuksak rasha. And then, now you need a fourth aveira to warn him that if you violate the fourth aveira, then you're going to go into the kippah. So that's why Rashi explains it, that the difference here is whether you need hatra'ah, so do you need a separate violation to warn him, to get him into the kippah, or do you not need a separate violation to warn him to get him to the kippah, or does he just go in on the, straight into the kippah? Right? And over here, you don't have the problem that you had before, because here we're not talking about malkiot. Hatra'ah over here, we said we're not talking about malkiot. They never got malkiot over here, so you don't have the problem of double jeopardy. Before Rashi said, if you get malkiot, you can't be put into the kippah. Right, so over here, there's no problem because he's not getting malkiot. Since he's not getting malkiot, you can put him in the kippah. That's the only punishment he will get. So that's how Rashi explains the sugya. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He says, Rashi doesn't need to be dochak like that to say that it's two problems. The point of the Gemara is that when it says aveirot, Is it Averot Machzikot or Malkiot Machzikot? When you say Malkiot Machziot, you have to actually get the Malkiot. So now once you get the three Malkiot, there's no value in giving a Malkiot anymore. So then the fourth time you put them into the Kippah, because there's no more value in it. As opposed to Rashi says, you can't have double jeopardy, you can't have Malkut and Kippah in the same Avera. Tosafot just says, no, you give a Malkiot, and he really should get Malkiot even the fourth time. But since we see there's no value to it, then we put him in the Kippah as an alternative to the Malkiot in the fourth case. All right, my Kippah, what's a Kippah? I'm Rav Yehuda Melokomato. It's a jail that's a very, very confined space in which the person stays. Veicha Remiza, how do you know that you put something into a Kippah? How do you know there's such a punishment that even though technically he's not deserving of a death penalty, it's a capital crime, death penalty from Beis Din. How do you know this? I'm Reish Lakish, Tumotei Teresha Ra'a. That the evil, right, shall slay the wicked. Meaning that their evil, their Rish'ut, will cause him to be, right, a death. And this is what happens here. His Rishut, his repeating or repeat offense, brings him in that he gets the punishment of death penalty. What does it say? That a person does not know his end, just like the fish, right, who are captured in the net. My mitzudah ra'a. What does it mean in the bad net? What does that mean? Why isn't it just a mitzudah? Why isn't it just a regular net? What's a bad net? So I'm Reish Lakish chika. That's a hook. Right, so again, this has nothing to do with our Gemara. It just happens to be that Reish Lakish darshaning a pasuk. So over here, they brought down another drasha that's on the topic of rasha. So over there, before it says to motet rasha ra'a, that the evil of the wickedness of the of the Rasha will slay him, will kill him. So to over here, it says that Adam will not know his end. It will come upon him like a hook does to a fish. Not like a net, which is laid out and trapped, and then, you know, that's there for a long time, and then it captures the fish. A hook is a little thing that all of a sudden comes and catches you. So to by Adam, all of a sudden you'll be, right, taken away. Suddenly, that's not something that a person knows about it. He doesn't necessarily get weak and sick, but suddenly, all of a sudden, someone could be taken away. That's a person doesn't know Ito. Right, Mishnah. Oreg nefesh shelo beidim, person who kills without eidim. Machzino to the kippah, machlino to lechem taru maim lachatz. Give him the bread of adversity, the water of affliction. Right, if we don't have eidim here, how do we know that he violated or he murdered? Right, that's the question here. So Amar beidut miyuchedet. Right, that we have some sort of eidut here, but there's a technical problem in the eidut. We know we have absolutely eidut, for instance, but there's some sort of technical problem in the process. For instance, one eid saw him from one window and another eid saw him from another window. So technically, we know that we have two witnesses to the murder, just from a Beis Din standpoint, they're not classified as being a single kat eidim, and therefore we can't put him to death. So we know the veracity of the fact that he murdered, but we can't put him to death because of the technical problem. Shmamar, shalom b'hatra. It's very simple. Yes, we have testimony, we're missing hatra, so he can't be put to death. Or b'chistamar, amivim, he can go and eat kachosh b'dikot, or eat kachosh b'chakirot. The chakirot stand, but then bedikot. So ein alchanami by the fact that we don't give him the death penalty. That's because we have again a technicality here, which is an out. We say beitzil ateida. We have to beam down the kafschut. So we have to down the kafschut, right? And the tzil ateida. Since we were able to find some sort of problem in their testimony, we dismiss the case. But ein alchanami, we know he's a murderer. We know that they're telling the truth when it comes to the major parts of their testimony. So therefore, we say, you know, put him into the kippah. It's not maseu badak v'nezakai buksei teinim. Case when Ben Zakkai tested with uksei teinim, meaning they talked about the stems or the of the teinim over there. Obviously, that's not relevant to the direct case, but he did it in order to find a zchut for the person not to put them to death. But in doing that, right, he doesn't necessarily mean that he's not a murderer. It just means that he won't get death penalty from Beis Din. I will say that it's not so simple here, because the death penalty for murder would have been saif. Now instead he gets put in the kippah, which is not such a pretty death. So I'm not sure why this is such a benefit for him, to save him from the death penalty of Beis Din. Alright, in the previous Mishnah, we feed him barley until his stomach, right, to ruptures. So why over there does it give one description of the kippah, and over here a different description of the kippah? Rav Sheshi is idvi idi. It's the same thing. Both of them. Nodim lo lechem tzara mayim lachatz. We give him bread and water. Achuptan me'ayino until his intestines shrink or his stomach shrinks. V'adar machil no tosiorim. And then you give him barley. Achukreso mitbakai, which causes his stomach to rupture. So you first of all shrink his stomach, and then you give him food that will cause it to expand or to that will cause whatever problems, and because of that he dies. Again, not a pretty death, and I'm not so sure why someone would want to be saved from the death penalty by Beis Din of Saif and go through such a death over here. Alright, Mishnah. Hagonevet ha-kasveh, v'amekalel b'kosem, v'abal aramit, So we have to see what all of these mean. Gunevet, kasvet, the Gemara is going to discuss what these first two are. And abel amarit, someone who sleeps with a non-Jewish woman, kanaim pogim bo. That they, this is nitan, this is vigilantism. It's given to the vigilantism as long as they're in the act of the avera. In the act of the avera, they can kill. Once it's over, the act's over, you can't do it. Koi shishimesh bituma. Going that went was with Tamei and went into the Beis Mikdash. Ena chavim mevino to the Beit Din. They don't bring it to Beit. Pichei kunam motzino to. They whisk him out of the out of the Beit Mikdash. Chuz lazara mavtzim netmochol bigzirin. They puncture his skull with javelins or some sort of sharp objects. Zar shishimech mikdash. A zar of someone who is not the kohen that comes in the service of the mikdash. Bekivo mer bechenek. His punishment is chenek. Chamimim bidei shemaim. His punishment is bidei shemaim. Okay, we'll get to them. We're going to do with the first two now. My kasveh. What's a kasveh? Gonevet a kasveh. What does he get? Kanayim pogimbo. What is that? Reuda klei sharet. This is talking about the klei sharet or klei sharet. It's talking about vessels of the mikdash. Someone who steals vessels of the mikdash. If you catch him in the act, you can kill him on the spot. If you after the fact, then you have to bring him to Beis Din. So these are the jars of the pouring jars that are put on the shulchan. How do you know that that's the case? Is a remez that lo yavo lirot kivalat hakodesh v'meitu. Right, you shouldn't stand by and watch when the kodesh disappears and they should die. What do you mean they should die? They should die because you killed them. So that's the remez. The truth, the pasuk is talking about the fact that the kohanim have to cover over the klei sharet before the levim pick them up. That's the pashup shot, that they're not allowed to look at the kelim. They have to cover over the kelim before the levim come in. Oh my God, that's a remez. The fact that the kelim can kill, you can kill for the kelim. When they're being bala, when they're being taken away, being nignaf. Makalal b'kosem, what is makalal b'kosem? Tanei Rav Yosef, yaket kosem et kosmo. Now kosem here is kosem. The kosem should, kosem is some sort of, magic, or some sort of superstition, whatever it is that this person is subscribing to. He says that the kosem should curse its kosmo, the source of all magic. Now the source of the magic is going to be a Kodesh Baruch Hu over here. So the kosem, this, whatever this he's worshipping or whatever he is ascribing powers to, that power should curse the ultimate power that comes from, which is God. So Rabbanan, v'itei marabba bar mari amrei, no, you have to say, yakeo kosem lo ulukono ulamakno. He says, no, this magic or this power should curse this individual, ulukono ulamakno. Right, to the one that he acquires, meaning kono probably means his children or his other, other people, and the makno, the one who made him or brought him, that gives his goodness to others. So you could say that it refers to both kone and makno, is both referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, lo, it should curse this individual, a kono, the one who is kone to olam, or makne the vriotabit tovo. Or you could say that again, that it's lo, ulu kono, right, him and his children, ulu makno, and the one who gives him life, which is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But either way, you're talking about another power and saying that power should, right, curse a Kodesh Baruch Hu, chas v'shalom. So a case where it's yakeh yosi et yosi, we saw before, that's deserving the death penalty. There it's mekalel, right, the Birkat Hashem. Birkat Hashem gets skila. We were talking about a Birkat Hashem that is being done not through the Shem Hashem. You're not using a Shem Hashem to the Birkat Hashem to Hashem, but rather this alternate power. When he's in the act of doing it, you can kill him. Afterwards, then there is no death penalty for it. We'll stop over here.